Explain the basic hakira of the two ways of explaining Bavrishis Matir in Rashi and the Ran. One of the main nafkaminas of understanding. This is a very nice yeshiva shasoga, because there's two ways of understanding why Bavrishis Matir in Bottle is about 30 nafkaminas. But the kitzur nimrats, if here we have Dovrishish Matirin is not butzel, and we have Rashi's reason, and we have the Ran's reason, one of the, at least at first would seem to be, one of the big nafkaminas, is what the Mechaber says next. What does he say? We'll start again. So it's not batal, neither true for shleima, meaning neither yavish b'yavish nor lach b'lach, right? Scrambled eggs are lach b'lach. Whole eggs are yavish b'yavish, even if it's a sofik mukta egg. But it's arba chiras that gets mixed with others, it's not batal. We'll come back to that. The im, he adds, in this arba b'she'ena mina b'teila b'shishim. However, that's all min b'mino. Eggs and eggs was his example, or any other such example. But if it gets mixed min b'she'ena mino, then it's batal b'shishim. Right? This is the opinion of almost all Rishonim. It doesn't say this anywhere explicitly in. It doesn't say there this anywhere explicitly in Shas, although it's pretty close in a few places in the Nedarim, that Darshish Matirin is batal in She'ino Mino, is only not batal in Mino. This, obviously, works a lot better. This obviously works a lot better for the Ran. So number one, Nafkaminas. One is, what about min b'she'eino mino? The Ran is very, very nicha. That's batal. Of course it's batal min b'she'eino mino, as the Ran said. Remember what the Ran said. Dover she'eish matirin is something which is close to being mutter, mixed with something that's mutter. In terms of their halachic status, they're not the same halachic status, but similar. So, only if they're also the same min, then it makes them so similar that it can't be batal. But if they're different minin, then there are different identities and they can be batal. That was the whole sheet of the Ran. The whole reason the Ran started with his fancy schmancy mahalach was to explain the difference between min b'min and she'in b'min. That's what he says. How can I explain why Darshish Matirin is not batal b'mino but is batal b'she'in b'mino? Oh, because it's all about that you need different identities in order to be mevatel each other. For the...
But the Ran never says that, did he?
What?
Did the Ran say the thing of min b'mino?
Yes. Absolutely. It's all mafurish in the Ran.
So it's not that the Mechaber, Ran himself said this.
Yeah. The problem is, what do you do for Rashi? For Rashi, it's a little strange. It's unclear why Dover Sheish Matirin is Batel Min B'She'eino Mino. If the Svara is, why use Bittel and eat an Isser when you can just wait and have it beheter without any problems? Then what difference does it make if it's mixed Mino or Eino Mino? Either way, why rely on Bittel when you can wait and eat it later and not have to rely on Bittel?
How do we know that Rashi's
physical? Aha! So, there are three basic answers to this. How do you solve this problem? One solution is the Shita of the Rav Yah and some other Rishonim Ashkenaz, which is, he points out, maybe the Rav Yah and a miut of Rishonim say that Dover Sheish L'Matirin ain't no batel afilu min b'she'eino mino. Right? So maybe Rashi just denied the premise. It almost says this in Shas. Has a few cases where it sounds like this is the rule, but never explicitly says in Shas that Dover Sheish L'Matirin is not batel b'mino and batel b'eino mino. This is the principle which most Rishonim deduced. But the Rav Yah and some Rishonim Ashkenaz, minority Rishonim Ashkenaz, hold that it's not batal lo b'mino v'lo b'she'eino mino. And if you'll ask, so how come the Gemara says that if neder gets mixed into your cholent, it's batal? The answer is, because that's what we'll see later in our muck, is tam is batal. But no difference between mino and eino mino. So Rashi might hold like that. However, We don't paskin that way, because we clearly paskin. Everyone agrees with this mechaber, right? So this is not how we paskin. That Darshish Shish Matiran is batel mimishayin omino. So we have to figure out why there should be a difference between mino and ain omino. So the Prisha on the bottom of the Shulchan Aruch, on the bottom of the Torah here, rather, and the Pnei Yoshua, give a Hesper. The Prisha, okay, the Prisha's right here. The Pnei Yoshua says the same thing in Beitza, in the last part of Beitza. I think it's the last part of Beitza, I'm pretty sure. Says no. He gives a Lumdish explanation for Rashi. He says, you know what the difference is between Mino and Eino Mino? When something gets mixed Min v'Mino, that's a din of Pitel. Wine and wine. Mutzah wine and regular wine get mixed. That's called bittel. Mutzah eggs and regular eggs gets mixed. That's called bittel. But think about this, he says. What happens when mutzah wine falls into your chumit and is less than a 60th and you can't taste it because bimbisha ain't no we know. Is it mutzah because of bittel? What did the preacher say? He says, hold on a second. If you're bimbisha ain't no we know and it's less than a 60th, that's not mutter because of bittel. That's mutter even without bittel. That's mutter because it's gone. Because it disappeared. Because it no longer exists. Says you don't need to rely on bittel for that case. For mimbishayin omino, you're not relying on bittel. In mimbishayin omino, it just doesn't exist anymore. How do we know it doesn't exist anymore? Well, you can't see the wine. You have mukta wine, devastation material, fold in your tumen. 1 ounce to 100. You can't see the wine. You can't smell the wine. You can't taste the wine. You can't feel the wine. So it's gone. That's not a din of bittel. That's a din of bittel hametzius. So that's what he says. He says right here, min b'she'ein omino. Right? That is a she'eino. No same time is mutter even without the rule of bittel. Okay, well, if it's mutter even without the rule of bittel, then we understand why Rashi would say that it's mutter. Rashi says, don't rely on bittel when you don't have to. But mim she'ein omino is mutter even without the rule of bittel. Why? Because it's gone. You can't taste it, you can't see it, you can't feel it. It's just disappeared. You know, if a cow eats grass and produces milk, the grass isn't there anymore. Grass isn't buffalo in the milk. It's just not there anymore. Turn it into something else. Likewise here, min b'she'ein omino. Right, I have some, I don't know, mukta. Someone squeezed a grape on Shabbos into my chulit. Right? A tiny grape into a big chulit. So it's mukta grape juice in my chulit. But it's not mukta, it's mutter. You don't need ahri ram lahatos, it's mutter misvara. Because it's just, there's no grape juice anymore. That's the precious head
scrum. All
the rabbanim that think it's not bottle would not apply to a case like this. And they don't.
No, the svara doesn't exist. If you're saying that it's less than shishim, it's not a mot, so you say, the chacham could be machmer.
Could be. Ah, you're saying, oh, but what about chametz on
shishim?
No, because all those things are yavish b'yavish, they still exist. Your only counter argument is chametz on Pesach according to all the Rishonim against Rabbein Tam. Okay, so yesh lodun
baze. It's a very difficult svara.
Okay. Alright. As far as in the eye of the beholder to a certain extent, I happen to think it's a nice svara, although I'll explain why we don't paskin like it. I happen to think it's a nice svara. If, of course, we're talking about lach v'lach, right? Min v'she'ein omino, lach v'lach. We're not talking about pieces being jumbled to pieces, then they clearly exist. We're talking about like a taste going into something. If a taste goes into something and you can't taste it, then it's not there. It's a taste that you can't taste. A taste that you can't taste doesn't exist. That is what the Prisha says to defend Rashi. The problem is we don't hold that way. Or, I mean, the Shulchan Aruch, we can't be sure. But we don't hold like they, because if that was the Svara, then, Menachem, should we care whether it's the same time or the same Shema? Should we go Basar Shema or Basar Taima if that was the Svara? Okay. Is that? Basar Taima. Then we should go Basar Taima. So, we don't pass this way because Mechaber here says Batel, and everyone agrees. And here, because the Shach says Basar Shema, and everyone agrees. Not the Prisher, Mestam. But we pass in that when it comes to Darshis Matirun, we care about the Shein, not the Tam. Okay, if we don't care about the Tam, then we're not dealing with whether it's tasteable or not. We're not dealing with the taste is destroyed or not. We're dealing with something more formal. So therefore, says the Shach, And the Taz, quoting the Torah's Chatas, is really Torah's Chatas, which is quoted in the Shach and the Taz, and this seems to be how we pass it, even though it's a Dochuk Svara, says the Torah's Chatas. He says, you know why it's Bottle Mimisha'inu Mino? Says something very hard to understand, right? The Shach and the Taz quote the Torah's Chatas. He says, because Harovis is called by the name of the majority, which is and that name is not the Dover Sheishal Matirin. What does he mean by this? When you have mutter grape juice mixing with regular kosher grape juice, with mutter grape juice, then it's all called grape juice. And the grape juice has some Yeshua material grape juice in there, so it's not butter. But when a little mutter grape juice mixes into my cholent, and here you see why you should go Basar Shema, it's all about what you call it. You call it cholent. Okay, there's some Yeshua material grape juice in there, but you call it cholent. Since you call it cholent, it's not so noticeable that there's Yeshua material grape juice in there. It's not so, how do you say bolate in English?
Sorry?
What?
Apparent?
Yeah. Okay. It's not. What?
Not so apparent.
Yeah. All right. I'm looking for something better. But we're all, okay, we're all in the same boat. What? Yeah. Bolate is even more than that. But, okay. It's not
blatant.
Good. That's, it's not so blatant that the
thank you.
It's not so blatant that
thank you.
That there's a Dover Sheishal Matirin. The Dover Sheishal Matirin is not as its presence is not so obvious. Because you look at cholent and in it there's grape juice Sheishal Matirin, but you see cholent. You don't see grape juice. So therefore the Sheishal Matirin is not so obvious. Who cares whether the Sheishal Matirin is obvious or not? If according to Rashi, it's all a matter of just being respectful and not coming to disrespect Yisurim, then if it's not so obvious, then Chazal didn't make Xerah. This is how we paskin. We paskin it, we'll see enough good. We paskin, it's a difficult svara, but this is what the Torah Chanta says, what the Shach and Taz says, what we have to paskin. If we hold like Rashi, which most posts do, and we hold like the Mechaber that Mimishin Lina is Batal. So we have to figure out why Mimishin Lina is different. And we hold like the Shach, and clearly the Ramah, that min b'min is defined here by the shame, not by the tam. It's not about whether the taste is obliterated or not. It's about whether it's called the thing or not. Who cares if it's called the majority, minority, or called the same thing or not? So it must be a matter of how it looks. That if it's min b'min, they're both called the same thing, then you look at this and you call it something which reminds you of the Yeshua Matirin. If it's min b'min, they're called different things, then you look at the whole cholent and you call it something which does not make it obvious, which hides the fact there's Yeshal Matirin there, and if it's not so obvious that there's Yeshal Matirin, then Chazal word goes there. That's, even though it's a bit of a Mechudosh Svara, that seems to be the Svara that we pass along, and that's why the Shach and the Taz bring the Svara down. Let us then take it one step further. Says the Ramah, now we can start to understand the, let's finish the Ramah on the Sif. Says the Ramah, Mihuim libnu ba machal. O nosno b'kdeira l'takinak deira. If, however, you have mimish eno mino. Here is going to be a big question exactly what the Ramah means here. So let's try to figure out what the Ramah means. Sorry. If libnu ba machal, you use the Dover Sheishal Matirin as a coloring agent. Here it's a whitening agent. But lahar would be the same thing for any coloring agent. Right? In the old days, they used to use eggs to whiten. Right? I think before coffee, Rich, you would use eggs to whiten your coffee. Okay, here he's not talking about coffee. Somehow you use it as a coloring agent, this Dover Sheishal Matirin, egg that was laid on Yontif. Or you put it into your food, the Takanek Deira, to improve the taste of the food. Like, for example, you stuff the chicken. Ain't a betel, like the stuffing the chicken, ain't a betel if not batel. We have more dinim of mukta eggs. So what does he say? He said here's two things. If you use it to give color, whether it's white or whether it's a dark color, or you use it to fix the taste, then it's not batel. So Here, it's not 100% clear what he means by this. Each of these needs his own analysis. Let's start from the last one, right? What's strange about that? What's the Kiddush of Ramah? Ramah becomes like Darish Yesh Latiren Min B'mino Eino Bato. Min B'she Eino Mino, then it depends. If it fixes the color Eino Bato. If it fixes the taste, ain't no bottle. If it does not fix anything, right? Does not fix. Fix meaning improve. Anything, then it's bottle. Okay, which of these lines of the Ramah seems to be a little strange or unnecessary? Okay. First one, what if it fixes the color in a bottle? Why do you think so? I mean, he needs to tell us. Have we ever learned beforehand that if something is used to fix the color, it's not bottle? Have we ever learned beforehand the issue of, like, treif, or a temporary treif, looks, whatever, that colors something? No, so the Ramban needs to tell us. Okay. I didn't say anything. What are you not following?
What? What are you trying? Isn't the Ramah commenting on the last words of the Machaber?
Yeah, Mimishin Amino, right?
What are you trying to understand? Why he said
that? Aha. So why did he say that? Here is a big machlokus. Why he said it?
It's not pashut according to the third.
Aha. So here is a big machlokus. Why he said it between the Gra and between the Prima Gadim here, quoting the Pri Chodesh, which has tremendous nafkaminas. The Pri Chodesh is a little earlier in the beginning of Simon, Simon Kof. Says the Gra. Why? The Gra says Pashup Shat. I think it's clear the Gra is Pashup Shat, although obviously Pashup Shat is the eye of the beholder. Why? Look at the Ramah in context. Why? Normally, Mimsha Eino Mino is not so noticeable. But over here, it's noticeable. Right? Maybe it's less than a 60th. You put less than a 60th coloring agent into your food that's Yesh Matirin. And it's Mimsha Eino Mino. But it's noticeable because it has a coloring agent, right? You put less than a 60th of Beit HaShinol B'yantif, mukta egg, into your coffee. Okay, so you might say, well, you see coffee, you don't see egg, so it's not so noticeable to Yishlat Tirin. But you do see the egg because it's a coloring agent. So the Gra says that it just makes the Dover Sheyishlat Tirin noticeable. How do people, how do most people spell noticeable? It's a big machlokes haposka. How do you spell noticeable?
I just wrote it in with an A and without an E, and it switched it automatically to.
Okay, great. Okay, so my Microsoft, yeah, there's a posting Akron, Art Scroll is the posting Akron in Judaism, Microsoft is the Art Scroll is the posting Akron in Torah, Microsoft is the posting Akron in Mada. Okay, great. Makes the Dover Shein Shlatirin noticeable, and then Dover Shein Shlatirin ain't no bottle. That is Pashup Shat. However, the Prima Gadim seems to understand differently. The Prima Gadim, and that's Pashup Shat, because that's why he's putting it in the context of Dover Shein Shlatirin and Mimsha Eino Mino. Usually Mimsha Eino Mino is not noticeable, but if it changes the color, it is. Okay, but let's assume, even though the Taz says the Ran works better, Lamaisa, most people hold like Rashi. The Prima Gadim, however, he has a very long Indian in the beginning of Simon Kuf, and he quotes that the Prima Gadim in Simon Kuf Beis, right here, he quotes the Pri Chodesh here. Pri Chodesh here says no, that it says the Pri Chodesh, and it says the Pri Chodesh that no, it's not about Dover Sheish Lamatirin. It's not really about Dover Sheish Lamatirin. It just happens to be thrown in here for a different reason. Because it's something you do with eggs, and we mentioned eggs, so it got thrown in. But really, it's a red herring. I know that's not Pashup Shat. Really, it's a general principle that Chazusa is not Batel, not because Dover Sheish Lamatirin. Any Chazusa is not Batel. That's the Pichadish understand. Any Chazusa is not Batel. And it happens to be thrown in here misleadingly in the context of Dover Sheish Lamatirin. Again, the Gra's Pashup Shat. It's in detail, Dover Sheish Lamatirin. But the Pri Chodesh and the Minchas Kohen and the Prima Gadim Paskins, that Dabar Sheishna did Chazusa is never batal. Whatever is Chazusa is not batal. Nothing to do with the Ishla Matirin. This is, you can imagine, a tremendous nafkamina, right? Nowadays, there are food colorings that are made of treif, right? One of the red dyes, like number 40, I think, or something like that, is carmine. Carmine is a red dye made from?
Bugs.
From beetles, correct. What about the red dye made from beetles? They use it in a lot of candy and such, right? So according to the Gra, it's fine, it's bottled, it's less than a 60th. It's not a Dabar Sheishna Matirin. According to the Gra, only Dabar Sheishna Matirin would worry about how it looks. Normally, who cares how it looks? Kashrus goes by how it tastes. And you can't taste the carmine. Since it's a tremendous nafkamina. Nafkamina is carmine. Carmine is always less than a 60th. So according to the Gra, it's bottled. Why? Only Dabar Sheishna Matirin did the Rambam mention libdu b'hamachol. In regular treif things, it's bottled. However, according to Michadash, ain't a bottle. The Mishnah Brura Taka in Siman Tavkof Yud Gimel, Sif Yud, explains like the Gra. He says, you know, if you can see it, that makes it as bad as Min Bamino, and therefore the Yod Shishmatir is not bottle. The Mishnah Brura takes the side of the Gra. However, a lot of Achronim, Mishnah Brura Sif Kut Yud, however, the Prima Gadin, in most places, takes the side of the Chadash. Ad Hayom Hazeh, this is a big machlokas which has not been fully resolved. Tremendous nafkamina. What's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is not if you're the OU, if you'll give a hashgacha to something that uses carmine. Ein valinus l'chachiva. Obviously, you give a hashgacha to something, you shouldn't use treif at all. The nafkamina is bidyevin. If by accident you had a product that used a treif dye, then is it kosher or treif? According to the Gra and the Mishnah Brura and Hilchos Yontif, a Dabar Sheishna Matirin would be a problem, but in regular treif, there's no such isser as chazusa. However, according to Bichadosh Tefim Gadim, chazusa melsa, no. Whatever you can see is not batel. Some of them, the Bichadosh says that's even a klal d'oraisa, and therefore the, whatever is dyed with carmine would be usser. Ad hayom hazeh, there's not a clear hachrat of this, but at least the OU and many other kashrus organizations are machmir, at least for d'oraisas, like beetles, are machmir, at least for d'oraisas, like the Prima Gadin, that something which changes the color of the item is never bottled, and it's not specifically a Dabar Sheishna Matirin, against the Pashup shot in the context of this Ramah and the Gra, and therefore, halacha l'maisa, different poskim still say different things, but I think most, the minig of most poskim nowadays, is that at least if you're dealing with a d'oraisa, then they're machmir, like the Prima Gadin, to say that chazusa is not batel in any treif, and therefore, if you have a candy that's made with all kosher ingredients with some carmine, or you have a candy under a factory hashgacha that accidentally buys carmine and uses it to make their products, then it would be treif.
I have a good friend who works at Dannon, and he said that he's been trying to get hashgacha, better hashgacha, I think they have a K, on the Dannons for a long time, and the only reason why there isn't is because the raspberry flavored Dannon yogurt has carmine in it. And so you'd say, okay, fine, so they'll give hashgacha to the other ones. Dannon doesn't want them to give hashgacha to the other ones because then all the animal rights activists are going to realize that there's carmine in the raspberry.
I don't understand.
No, but some of the acronym do.
How can somebody make up something that doesn't appear?
X doesn't appear either. Doesn't appear fakert.
You have
everything
that Chachamim thought of, but all of a sudden somebody makes this up. What does that mean? Doesn't make any sense.
Okay, that's not locus. Everyone, you know, we can postulate like either side.
And if the Ramah, and I want to say, what happened until the Ramah?
I don't know.
What does that mean? You can't answer, I don't know, to a question like that. Until the Ramah, there was no such concept.
Let me hear it. The Libna Bahamachal, the Ramah is quoting from earlier Rishonim. But the simple pshat is they were only talking about Dabar Sheishna Matirin. And I admit, the simple pshat is that this Ramah proves it's only an issue of Dabar Sheishna Matirin, and that's what the Gra said, and that's what the Mishnah Brura said. But there are Achronim who think otherwise.
Where did the Rishonim bring it in context?
Only in this context of the Egon Yontif. Now, that was also the only common context. Meaning, they didn't have food coloring in those days. The only food coloring they had was eggs. So that's what you don't know. You know, that's why Pashup Shot is, this is a special rule of Dovah Sheish Matirin. But if someone wanted to say, no, it's a general principle, which only happens to come up in this sugya, and therefore say, we do have a marker in the Rishonim. It was a general thing. It only happened to come up in that sugya, because that's the only sugya about eggs. Then they would have a leg to stand on.
What makes you think that they didn't have these things before?
Okay, I don't know. Or maybe it just wasn't a common issue.
It's a normal thing that people use things to color their food. Didn't start there.
Okay, but I don't know what they use. I don't know if they use trained things to color their food.
That's exactly the point. You can't go make something up.
Okay. Sarahian, let me just ask you about this part of the Ramah now. How about this part of the Ramah? If it fixes the taste, it's not bottle. Is that a special rule of Dovah Sheish Matirin, or is that true of all traits, that if it fixes the taste, it's not bottle? What?
Can you taste it or you don't taste it? If it fixes the taste, you taste it.
Well, it sort of sounds like it's just the rule of Tom Kedeker, that whatever you taste is a bottle. But then that would be very funny. That part is also, it's just sneaking in here by accident. Like, shouldn't be a special rule of Dovah Sheish Matirin, so it explains the Shulchan Aruch Harav.
What does it mean, though?
Aha! So explains the Shulchan Aruch Harav, not why. What does it mean? Explain the Shulchan Aruch Harav, not here. There's no Shulchan Aruch Harav here. The Shulchan Aruch Harav in Tov Kof Yud Gimel Baruch Chaim in the Siman of Beit Sashen Old B'Yantif, which is where all the Rishon, all the Achronim who are not on your day discuss it. He says, it's not talking about if you can taste it. That's Tom Ke'ikr. That doesn't need to be repeated here. What he means is that even though you can't taste it, and it would be batel if it was totally treif. Anything that... Okay, now he has to explain what he means. What he says is this. I hope I'm quoting what he means properly.
So the Ramah says tikkun, then he says tikkun. I don't see any connection between the tikkun and the tikkun.
Okay. But the way the Shulchan Aruch Rav says it is like this. Sometimes you'll put in treif, and you won't be able to taste that treif. For example, you can have something, you put in lard, and you can't taste the lard. But it still improves the taste of the tavshil. How so? Together with other things, it improves the taste of the tavshil. You can't taste it, like you can't make out that taste, but together with other things, it improves the taste of the tavshil. Like, just to give a silly example. Or not a silly example, give a simple example. Let's say I put in, a little treif grape juice. And also some sugar. So it could be that I can't taste the grape juice at all. It's less than a 60th. But together with the sugar, it adds enough sweetness to make my thing taste the way it's supposed to be. It's been starved to something else, like a zebzeb goren, to fix the taste of my kadeira. So that wouldn't be tam ke'ikr, and treif, that would be batel. But when it comes to Dovah Sheish Matirin, since it did improve my food, therefore it's nicker and it's still not batel. And that's what he is. Anything that improves the taste of the food, even, and that's the chish, even together with other things, with other ingredients, it alone can't do it, but together with other ingredients it can. Is not bottle if it's Dovah Sheish Matirin. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, one second, the Chiddush of Rabbah is. You can't taste the egg that was laid on Yontif, but together with the other eggs, or together with the other ingredients, it fixes the taste of your food. Like, just classic example, let's say you had a 150-ounce chulet, and you put in a 1-ounce kosher egg, and a 1-ounce kosher egg, and a 1-ounce treif egg. All of a sudden, 3 to 150 changed the time. But that egg doesn't change the time. It just changes the time together with other things. So, is that bottle or not? If it would be treif, it would be bottle. You can't taste the treif egg. I don't care that. It, with other things, it fixes the time. But in Dovah Sheish Matirin, it would be usur. Because since it does affect your kedera and improve your kedera, even though you can't actually taste it, since it improves your kedera, therefore, it's considered to be noticeable that it's there, and therefore it's not bottle.
How can you taste one thing that the Ramah said that has two parts, and say one has to do with all of Shas, and one only has to do with the Yesh Matirin? Impossible to learn this.
I agree with you, but look, if I wanted to, I could, even though it's not the way the Brit Chodesh sounds, you could say that maybe the Brit Chodesh and the Brit Gemara are right, even if that's not what the Ramah meant. Even though the Brit Chodesh wants to stick it into the Ramah. But even if you're not happy sticking it through our mud, it doesn't disprove that there might theoretically have merit. But you're right, I agree. It's very peculiar, and so does the Mishnah Berurah, and so does the Gemara. Okay, so this is the details of Mem She'eino Mino. It's a little more complicated. There's a heter Mem She'eino Mino, but not if it fixes the color, which may be a kultur kula din, depending on who you ask. And not if it improves the taste, even if you can't mamish taste it, but it has an effect on the taste that improves it and makes it taste the right way, then it would still be not batel.
How does that fit in what he said about the thing of the putting into the chicken? What was he referring to putting into the chicken? Ramah gave an example himself to explain what he meant.
So, I don't know exactly what the Rinhagim were in filling the chicken, I must admit. But I assume what he meant is that you made a stuffing with eggs, and the egg that was laid on Yontif helped improve the ta'am of the entire dish, even though it itself was not tasteable. But someone, you'll have to ask someone who knows exactly how they used to stuff chickens in the old days, because I admit, I'm not such a buck.
Okay.
This lushan is found in a few Rishonim, but it's just the same lushan over and over. Okay, let me just point out, before we move on to getting through all the halachos, let me point out a little bit of lumdus. In lumdus, we say Dar Sheishla Tirin is not batal Rashi and Aran, and we want to say this perhaps from Nafkaminas. Some of the other Nafkaminas could be, number two, the difference between Rashi and Aran might be, that the Ran is looking at the formal status, based on all the Nafkaminas. The Ran always looks at the formal status, this called the Dar Sheishla Tirin, its identity. For the Ran, we care about formal identity. For Rashi, we care about practically, is there a way out? So there could be many nafkaminas, some of which we'll see in the Nosei Kalim here. For example, what if you have a Dabar, she'ein lo matir, aval, yesh derech, shelo lismoch al betel. What if there's no matir, but you do have a clever way to get out of it without relying on bittel? Right? Rashi should say, ain't no bittel. What do you mean? If you have another way out, don't rely on bittel. Ramah should say bittel. Because it has no matir. What's an example of that? I know, I just said this very... One example of that is, there's Yerushalmi. Nidarim, according to the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that a neder has no matir. This is a big chiddush. The Bavli says neder has a matir. Why does a neder have no matir? It says, because if you're matir the neder, then you never made it in the first place. You can never be matir a neder. I know, it's funny. We call it hataras the darim. The Yerushalmi says, neder is ein lo matirin, because chacham oker is a neder meikara, because if you go to a chacham, he doesn't taras the darim, he's not matir the neder. He proves the neder never really existed. So the Yerushalmi says that neder is batel because ain't lo matirin. That's what Yerushalmi says. Neder is not called matirin. You can't ever be matir neder. You can just retroactively clarify that it never happened. That's a very lundish, formal yeshivish perspective. L'chora, that works well with the Ran. For Rashi, he would say, not like Yerushalmi, he would say that the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. Right? The Bavli says neder does have matirin. Of course, then say, well, is the Bavli against the Ran? No. Rashi and the Ran can be arguing about why the Bavli disagrees with the Yerushalmi. Rashi will say, give me a break, you have a way out. That's called Dar Sheishla Tirin. And the Ran will say, no, the Bavli is a different lundus than the Darim. Hataras and Darim doesn't mean it never happened. Hataras and Darim means there's a matir. Another classic example like this might be Chavitz. What do we mean about Chavitz? Is there a way to get out of the Isser Chametz? Yeah, just wait till after Pesach, right? What's unique about Chametz? Chametz, it's Chozer Le'isuro L'shana Haba'a. Chametz can never be Mutter, because it's being Usher next Pesach. No, but let's say it's Vitarovus in a way that's not Chametz Shavar Lo Pesach. If it's one in a million, that's not Chametz Shavar Lo Pesach. Right? Let's say it's this Arev before you violate Bar Yom Ha'Yimatzi, right? You can have that example. What about Chametz that's going to be usher again next year? For Rashi, it's a Dover Pashat, like the Rambam, that ain't no batel. It's Davar Sheyesh Matironim. You have 357 out of 365 days to eat it. Clearly, you don't need to rely on Bittul. But for the Ran, it's still a Chiddush. Yesh Mako Lomar, like Reb Chaim, not Reb Chaim the Brisker, Reb Chaim the Baltosos, which is quoted at the end, Reb Chaim Cohen, not Reb Chaim Ali, right? Reb Chaim Cohen, the Baltosos, which is that it's Bato because Ein Lo Matirin. I think you could hold like around and still not go as far as Reb Chaim. But saying you see from this Rishon, this Reb Chaim Cohen, that they're not looking at practically whether you have a good alternative or not, like Rashi would. They're looking at it formally, is there a chalos mater? And the Yerushalmi says, no chalos mater for Nedarim, because a Taurus Nedarim is not a mater, it's a retroactive clarification. And Reb Chaim Cohen says, no mater for Chametz. It's still going to be usher forever, it's never going to be mutter, it's always going to cycle back and forth. That only makes sense according to the Ran. According to Rashi, you would never say these svaras. Another case where this comes up, and I think this is going to be Mefurish in the Taz, is... and I think this is being forced to pass, is what about, this is a little trickier, but maybe, we'll come back to it in a second, Kli Balua Mi'isr. Here it gets a little trickier, because can you matter the Isr that's in the Kli? Let's say I have a Kli that was Balea, a Kli that was Balea pork. Is that Davar Sheyesh Matir? Can I matter the Isser? What? What? Kashuk Halem. When I Kashuk Halem, I matter the Isser?
No.
What am I doing? I'm removing the Isser. But it stays Usser, right? The pork case is still Usser. I'm just taking it out of my Kli. So this gets into a big lumbus, which maybe we'll discuss later in the year. When you Kashuk Halem, are you mattering the Kli or just removing the Isser? So, according to Rashi, it's Pasha, you would say, that's called Davar Sheyesh Matirin. Because Lamaisa, you can kasher your Kli, right? According to the Ran, Yesh Makom Lomar, Deha Isser Atzmo, Ein Lo Matirin, which is exactly the discussion of the Taz there in Sif Gimel. No, there's no Matirin to the Isser. You can take the Isser out of your Kli, but there's no actual Matir of the Isser. It's not your pot that's straight. It's the pork taste that's straight. And that has no matir. So these are some places where this lumbus could come up in actual halacha l'maisa shaylas. Just another classic example would be...
Rashi could just say that there isn't really a zilzal when it's like...
Correct. You could say a lot as far as. Let me just mention that. Let's have another classic example. How about another kind of nafkumina? Which is, how about the opposite? Davar sheyesh lo matir... Aval lemaisa, lemaisa. Sorry, lismol chal bittul. What if something has a matir, but practically you can't really do the matir, right? This is, for example, a classic example is what the Shulchan Aruch talks about in Dalet. For example, what about? Machal sheyiskalkel ad sheyavo hamatir. What if it'll spoil before the matir comes? You have a tarobis before they invented refrigerators and freezers. You have a tarobis 1 to 1 million of chametz on Pesach of your stew, and it'll be mutter after Pesach, but it'll be spoiled by then. So, according to Rashi, it's obvious that you would say like the mechaber that it's butel, because. I don't care that it had the matter. Lemaisa, you don't really have another option. Rashi can't tell you why rely on bittul if you don't have to. You have to rely on bittul because you can't use the matter. For the Ran, you could maybe say, like the Yam Shel Shlomo, that it's not bittul. For the Ran, you could say, I don't care that practically you're never going to be able to eat it. Formally, its identity is called Davar Sheyesh Lo Matirin, which is the sheet of the Yam Shel Shlomo. Or another example which comes up in the Shulchan Aruch of Gimel is what about if there's Torah v'yitzios? Yitzios is what we call hutzos in modern day Hebrew. Expenses. Lehatiro. What if you can matter it, but it requires a lot of hard work and it's expensive? Oh. So here says the Mechaber,
it's butl, and that works well for Rashi.
For Rashi, if it has a matter, but it's expensive, then what do you mean, don't rely on bittl? That's expensive to the matter, I have to rely on bittl. It's not practical to do the matter.
For the Ran, maybe.
Shulchan Aruch's case.
Mm-hmm.
With the Bliyas, what's the expense?
What?
Oh, of Kashrin Kalem? That you have to buy wood and make a fire.
That's cool, like that.
What?
You were Torah and Yetzias.
Yeah, it's Torah Hanging Tzius. Even nowadays, a big Torah to Kasher some things. Depends what. Spoons, is that a big Torah to Kasher? You know, some things cost money, right? Something, maybe you don't have a kale to Kasher in your kitchen. You have to bring it to a Kashering center, and you have to pay them. How much do they charge? Anyone ever go to a Kashering center? Don't you have to pay them?
Not much.
Okay, but still. Just one other example, which discusses the Pesach Tshuva is, and this then we'll leave alone this and just get back to case by case halacha, is what about, here's an interesting Dabar Sheyesh Alav Shnei Isurim, this is discussed at length by the fourth Pesach Tshuva, V'yesh Matir L'Isur Echad. What if something has two Isurim? You can matir one of them, not the other. Like, for example, it's an egg of treifa that was laid on Yontif. So the treifa will never be matir, but Yontif will be matir when three stars come out. Right? Or it's an avela meat that you made a neder not to eat.
Is it Muxer on
treifa? What?
When it was grazer on treifa.
Hmm?
It was good at Muxer on treifa.
No, it's treifa egg that was laid on Yontif.
That means it was a Muxer egg.
Right, because it was laid on Yontif.
Even though it's treifa.
Yeah, yeah. Or the Pesach was case, and the avela that you made a neder not to eat. So the avela is never going to be mutter, but the neder you can be mutter according to the Bavli. So here I think one of the runs is pashut, is that this should be bata. Why? Because its identity is iser forever. It's not something which is close to being mutter. Its identity is an iser. Who cares if it's one iser or two iser? Its identity is iser. Iser is bata. For Rashi, you can see it either way. Yesh makom lomar she'eino bata. Why? Because why rely on bittul twice when you can wait till later and rely on bittul once? It's not mocher. You might say im kvar as kvar. But yesh makom, and that's a big machlok zachronim in the Pesachei Tshuva. This is discussed in the Pesachei Tshuva, Sivkotin, Dalet at great length. We're not going to go into every detail.
I think another machlokus in the Shabbos regarding the Asuva Lelamis. It's a double shesh lamatim for him. Even though it's
meant to
the
shower. You mean if it's a darshish material for one person and not for other people?
Right.
So what do you say in that? Let's say it's a darshish material for me, but not for you.
Right.
So if you look at it as Rashi, then you might say
I have nothing to do. I want to eat it.
That for me, it's a lo matir.
Right.
But
it's not a shame. I think
someone deals with that.
Of course, someone deals with that.
No,
it's also in our simon, the very last piece in our simon. The last Pesach Tshuva in our simon mentions the machlokas about that. From the Ramah in our simon, it seems like it's pashut, and then the last Pesach Tshuva mentions that it's not so pashut. There are different ways of interpreting it. So if it's mutter for one person, aser for someone else, then according to Rashi, you would say each person makes his own judgment. If for me it's yesh lamatir, and I should wait. If for you it's ein lamatir, and then you might as well eat it now. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
But if you say like the Ran, then what might you say? You might say that that it is
has a shame of Dovish Yishmatira.
It has a shame of Dovish Yishmatira, and it's mutter for, this gets a little tricky, like what would Ran say in the first place? It's mutter one person, us or another person. So okay, I think you're right, but let's leave it off the board because we have to go a level deeper to properly understand that. Okay, yes. Yes. It's like you'd think it's a brisker, but it's a Yerushalmi.
What about
the all those things
are Yerushalmi?
No, everyone needs Tevel Yesh Matira.
Why?
You can be Mafrish. But Mafrish
is Apuch of the Neder. What's the difference?
No, Mafrish is matter something. There's an Isser that has a procedure that turns it into Heter.
And the same thing, Abinet is a procedure.
Uh-huh. The Yerushalmi here is like a brisker Yerushalmi.
But all of the Shas, that's exactly the Varvu Vipucho. That's why you can always get out of all the things with Hekdesh Ruba, it's because of Sheva.
Okay. First of all Rishas, we're talking about Bavli. I know the Bavli doesn't hold like this Yerushalmi. But
can
just say that with anything which is a matzah, you can say that chakira. Is chakira matzah? Is it the girl that the animal is...
No, anything we kind of will have, but you're not going to make this chakira. This chakira is only going to be on the mafreyas. Because Hatzaras Adarim works with mafreya. So then you understand the Mishnah says, anything that works with mafreya is not a matzah. If it was matzah, it would just be matzah from now on. It's an uprooting. What did the Mishnah say? That if I made a neder and something, it's aim l'matir, I mean manavshach. If I really made a neder, there's no matir. And if Yigloin knows I didn't make a matir, it's not usr. So it's aim l'matir, it's not a devashish l'matir. So it's only on things that work on Freya, which is, this is the only one, really, that the Yushalmi and Babli have this chakira. Okay, ayin sham the Yushalmi nedarim. Now, let's just look at one or two more things, and then we will be able to go on to Sif Bet. We have a lot of work ahead of us. So, who's supposed to take pictures? Okay. One of the interesting discussions of the Achronim and even the Rishonim, but more in the, but it gets veiled for in the Achronim, is which kulas are we allowed to rely on Davar Sheish Latirin, and which kulas are we not allowed to rely on Davar Sheish Latirin? What now? What's the main point of our Siman? The main point of our Siman is... Davar Sheish Latirin. Our Siman is talking about Bittel. Bittel X. Bittel does not work for Davar Sheish Latirin, right? That's what we said. Bittel doesn't work for Davar Sheish Latirin. Okay, it depends on the circumstances. It will make it more complicated. But Ikaron, Bittel doesn't work for Yesh Latirin. That's Beitz of Gimel and Aleph. Gimel and Beitz. Someone, tell me what it says in Beitz of Dalet and Aleph. What other Kula doesn't work for Davar Sheish Latirin? No, Davar Sheish Latirin is a Chumra. A little further than the Gemara. Dalet and Aleph, Beitz. Safed Drabanan Lakula. Doesn't work for Davar Sheish Latirin. If it's Safek whether the egg was laid in Yontif or not, and it's only Nisr Rabbanan, let's say it was Yontif was on Wednesday, so Safek laid on Yontif, Safek Mukta, is Aser because Safek Drabanan Lakula. That's if you need to rely on it. But Davar Sheish Latirin, you don't need to rely on it, so Safek Drabanan will go to Chumra. These two kulas don't work. Other kulas are controversial. What is controversial? One of the controversial kulas is. What about Sfeik Sfeik? Can you rely on a Sfeik Sfeik? That's a very strong principle. Can you rely on a Sfeik Sfeik in Davar Sheish Latirin or not? That is a big, big, big Machlokes Rishonim, which is the discussion of the second Shach in our Siman. I believe. Yes. And the... what does the Mechaber say? Says the Mechaber, he says... Va'afilu sofik in Nolda B'yontif. Even if the egg is a sofik, whether or not it's born on Yontif. And Nisar Bachiris, then it gets mixed with other eggs. It's still usher. Hold on a second. Here. You see these? Far, this is the mixture of the eggs. One of them was maybe with a Yontif. I pick up one egg, I see. Maybe it's the egg that was sofik Nolda B'yontif, maybe not. And even if it's the egg that's sofik Nolda B'yontif, maybe it was born on Yontif, maybe it was born on Erev Yontif. So each egg should be mutter because it's fake seka. So that's what the Bach says. Says the Bach. Says the Bach. It's mutter. He disagrees with this Mechaber. Right? He says, the Bach, mutter. Even in Davar Sheish Latirin, it's fake seka is mutter. And therefore, Safeg nolda biyantif shenis arev ba'acheros is mutter because each egg is a sfeik seka. Maybe it's the one that was masopik, maybe it isn't, and even if it's one that's masopik, maybe it wasn't laid on yantif. The Mechaber disagrees, but why does the Mechaber disagree? Anyone want to tell me why the Mechaber doesn't say like the Bach? So, you have to put together two Mechabers. Says the Mechaber, he also agrees Sfeik Sfeik is Mutter by Davar Sheish Latirin. How do we know? Again, I'm not saying we should rely on this because this gets more complicated. Because he says in Or HaChaim that Sfeik Nolda B'yantif Sheini is Mutter. So you have an egg that was maybe laid in Yantif Sheini, maybe not. That's a Sfeik Sfeik. Why? Maybe today's Yantif, maybe it's Chol. And even if today's Yontif, maybe the egg was late today, maybe it wasn't. Sfeik Sfeik, Alakula.
It's not considered a Sfeik
That's exactly what the Mishnah Berurah points out there. He says, not everyone thinks Yotzev Sheni counts as a Suffolk.
Nobody says
Yotzev Sheni might count as a Vaday. Okay, this is a big machlokas. Apparently the Mechaber thinks Yotzev Sheni is called a Suffolk. That's what the Mechaber thinks. And therefore it's Mesarv to a Sfeik Seika. And the Mishnah Berurah points out, not everyone thinks that. Traditionally, this is known as a machlokas between the Rambam and the other Rishonim. The Rambam thinks it's a Vaday and the other Rishonim thinks it's a Suffolk, but I know it can be more complicated than that. So why? But the Mechaber admits Sfeik is Mutter Dov Sheish Matirin. So why over here is he Machmir? So this is because of a principle in the Klali Sfeik Sveika. He said he is... But Sfeik Echad B'Guf Sfeik Echad B'Tarobes is not a valid Sfeik Sveika. The Mechaber Shita is that really he agrees with the Bach that Sfeik Sveika and Mutter Dov Sheish Matirin, but this is not a valid Sfeik Sveika. This is what most Rishonim say in Beit Sedef Gimel and Beit. It seems to say some Rishonim quote Rabbeinu Tam as saying like the Bach. Oh, of course this case is Mutter, but it seems to say it's Usser that if a egg was maybe leaning onto maybe not gets mixed up with others, it's Usser. So what does the Ri and most Rishonim say? Ah, we would be making on Sfeik Sveika and Dov Sheish Matirin. But this is not a Sfeik Sveika. A Sfeik Sveika has to be two Sveikas about the same egg. One said you got the goof of the egg, and another said you got which egg is which. Doesn't count as a Sfeik Sveika. A Tarobes and a real Sfeik don't count as a Sfeik Sveika. Only two real Sveikos. What would be two real Sveikos? Again, with Zev's indulgence. Egg that was maybe laid on Yom Tov Sheni, maybe it was laid a different day. Maybe it was laid a few days ago. Then, that's two real sveikos. Maybe today's yatsa, maybe it isn't. Maybe it was late today, maybe it wasn't. That's a real sveik sveika. Or the sveik sveikas in the Sefer Ksilvus. Those are real sveik sveikas. But over here, one is a suffix, one is a tarovis. Tarovis doesn't count. You can't put a tarovis and a real suffix together and make a sveik sveika. Okay, we'll get back then in Simen Kuf Yud. There is a third sheet. The third sheet is the Ramah in Simen Kuf Yud. In the name of the, I think it's the Mordechai there, he holds Lechumra, he's very machir about this, he says just, no, Sveik Sveika, the Dover Sheish Matirin is Usser. I know that's against Ramah and Orchaim, then Machaber and Orchaim, that's fine. He doesn't have to move to Machaber and Orchaim. He just says, no, Sveik Sveika is not help for Dover Sheish Matirin. Sveik Sveika is not strong enough. Sveik Sveika, even if you're a Sveik Sveika, better to wait till it's Mutter. Okay, so we have two basic opinions. Machlokas Bach and Mechaber versus the Mordechai. Basically, Rov Rishon versus Mordechai, whether Sveik Sveika is Mutter, Dov Sheish Matirin or not. Just the Shach points out. The Mechaber might sound like he's answering Sveik Sveika, but that's not true. He just doesn't count this as a valid Sveik Sveika. This is a famous Machlokas, Rehan Rabbeinu Tam, and based up Gimel and Beis. What other principles are there? Anyone know of any other principles that are Mechriya Lekula besides Sveik Sveika, Savid Rabbanan, and Bittel? There's another principle. This is important to know. What are the two kulos? What are the two rules called rov? Can anyone tell me two different rules in halacha called rov? One is bittel rov. If you have a mixture and most of it's mutter, then it's mutter. Is there a different rule of rov? What? Well, that's a non-rov. But don't say kavua, but say. Don't say kavua, but say parish. Right? Thank you. I felt like I was losing a game of taboo there. The right, good muscle. The parish. What does parish mean? If there's a lot of things and you meet one of them, you can assume it's from the roof. Right? That's parish. Right? If you called it parish, we rule a parish. Right? That's not Bittel Barov. This is called, right? Called the Parish, Megruba Parish. Whenever one thing meets you, or it's called Azlinan Basarov, or Azlinan Basaruba, if I'm going to be consistent, right? We follow the Rov. Keep in mind, there's a famous Reb Chaim stencil deals with how this law. And this law can be learned from the same pasuk of Acharav Mahatos. We're not going to give an answer now. I am sure if you're interested. It should be in... if you're interested, I'll find it. But there are two different rules. This rule is about when we have no sphakos. That's what Hilchos Torah is about. We're not in doubt about anything. We know exactly what we have. 100 ounces of chilim and 1 ounce of lard. There's an end of bittul rov. We know exactly what we have. 2 kosher meatballs and 1 treif meatball. This is a rule defining cheftas. You define cheftas by the majority with tons and tons of details, which is all of Hilchos Torah. This is not a rule defining cheftas. This is a rule of following the odds when we don't know what we have. You meet a person. You don't know if he's Jewish or Goyish. So you follow the odds. If he's in Israel, you assume he's Jewish. If he's in America, you assume he's not Jewish. You have a kid. And you don't know if they're going to grow up to be an girl. You don't know if she's an islandess or not. Because she's only 11. Most people are not an islandess, so you assume she's not an islandess. Right? That's called us lean bus, or that's just being whenever you don't know what happened, you assume that the most likely scenario happened, or classic case of shechita. Someone shechts, and you don't know who it was. You don't know if he's a qualified shochet or an unqualified shochet. The Gemara says, Rov and Sunni Shlishim, both shochtim are qualified, so therefore you can eat the food, you assume he's qualified. It's not about defining a chepta. That's about resolving doubt. How do you resolve doubt? We all know. You follow the most likely scenario, Azlin and Basaruba. Right, this would be another example. This would be, what if, you know, you wanted to know if you had to check your carrots for bugs or not? We discussed. The answer is 99% of the time carrots don't have bugs, so you don't even have to check. Why? That has nothing to do with Bittul Barov. Bittul Barov is you know they're bugs, you want to know if they're bugs. The answer is no. Here it's a question, you don't know if they're bugs or not. The answer is we assume no, because even the Chachilif, the Mishain and Matsu, follow the road. How about Azlina Basarov called the person from a parsh? What about in the case of Dovashesh Matirin? That would be a valid question. What would you say in the case of Dovashesh Matirin? Right? A guy brings you, an apple on Yontif. Most apples in the Shuk were not picked on Yontif, but some of them were. Okay. It's a valid question. Or go back to Chadash, right? That's a great example. You buy something, and you're not sure if it's Chadash or Yashan, right, in terms of the week. Let's assume we keep Halach of Chadash, right, the old days. Very old days for Ashkenazim. Meaning the days when we lived in Babylonia. You don't know if it's Chadash or Yashan. Don't shish my tea. Wait till after Pesach, it'll be kosher. But 90% of the Shuk is Chadash. So if 90% of the Shuk is Chadash, can I say, well, the odds are 90%, sorry, 90% is Yashan. Can I say, the odds are 90% that it's kosher? Or do I say, no, well, I can wait till after Pesach and resolve the doubt, so therefore I shouldn't follow 90%? That's a valid question. No? Who addresses this question? Anyone? Hischei Tshuva in Sifkatan. Aleph quotes from the Shut in the end of the Sefer Siddur Shel Shabbos, Shet Nistapik, whether we say called the Parish, Be Ruba Parish, in Darshish Matirin, or not. And then he says that we're machmir. And then he says Tzemach Tzedek also sounds like we're machmir. And the Magen Avraham also sounds like we're machmir. But the Tzlach says we're mekel. And the Chavetz Yar sounds like we're mekel. So this is a machlokes. The Siduro Shel Shabbos. The Tzemach Tzedek and Mashmos of the Magen Avraham say Aser. While the Tzlach and the Chavetz Yair say that it's mutter that we can't follow it. Okay, so that's a machlokes achronim. It doesn't come up all the time, but it's an unresolved suffix whether we have the right to follow a rove, not bit of a rove, following a rove, playing the odds, whether we can assume that the likely scenario happened in Dovashesh Matirin, or whether we still have to be machmir, because why take a 90% chance of being right? Just wait till later and you'll be 100% sure that it's okay. So that's a machlokes.
Right now, what is it?
Right now,
it's Heter or
Isur. Right now, it's a sack of grain, which is 90% likely to be mutter. So that's the machlok, because on the one in the tzlach says, right now we have to know what it is. What is it? It is mutter, because it's 90% likely to be mutter. If it's mutter, then it's mutter. The Siddur Shel Shabbos says, no, right now it's 90% sure that it's mutter. And we would rely on that. But if we can wait till later, why rely on it?
When you come out of base, then what do you have? You have a body that guy gets dead, or you still don't know. Rove is a rove. It's a dindoraisa. Rove means that the thing changed its identity. That's the tashit shot in rove. So how can you tell me now? No. Now, I don't know. I have to look tomorrow what the rove will be today. What does that mean?
Okay, so maybe part of the machlokas is how strong is a rove, right? That's coming up in the morning seder now. How strong is a rove? Maybe that's part of their machlokas. Okay. Lamaik says a machlokas achronim. Okay.
According to that, basically, you should have asked the questions because, wait a minute, maybe we'll find out tomorrow the guy wasn't a
goy,
he was a Jew.
I mean, no, because everyone agrees that Dabar Sheish Latirin is only a chomer to Rabbanan. I mean, all right, so we always follow rove. The question is whether Rabbanan were mach, where to wait. So I guess in Bezdin, you know, I don't know how this would apply to Bezdin, but we can think about it. Okay, Zip Beis, Yesh Misha Omer. This is not a Yesh Misha Omer like it's one opinion. This is a Yesh Misha Omer everyone agrees. It's just that since it's not quoted in the Rambam and the Rush and the Riff, sometimes the Mechaber calls it Yesh Misha Omer. But everyone agrees to this. Yesh Misha Omer Shalom Omer, Dov Sheish Matirin, Kshamata, Osir Lo, Vol Kol Panam, or Matar Yodol, Lassos, Lo Hefzid. When it's Dov Sheish Matirin, either if it's going to come automatically a Heter, or if it's not going to come automatically, but you have the control over it, that you can do it without losing money. Maybe those are two kinds of Dov Sheish Matirin, according to the Shulchan Aruch, as opposed to Marshal. Either if it's going to happen automatically, like Chametz and Muktzah and Chadash, right? That's all Dov Sheish Matirin that's going to happen automatically. Or if you have the total power in your hands to fix it, like Tevel, you can just be mafresh from it, and it'll be mutter. Or nidarim, you could just do a taras nidarim, and it'll be mutter. And you're not gonna lose money. Aval darish ainu b'yad avadai sheyavo matzer. But something that you have no control to make sure 100% that it'll be mutter, meaning something that might become mutter, but it's not gonna become mutter by itself, and you don't have power to be mutter. It just might be mutter later. Sheyavo b'din darish sheyavo matzer. If it might become mutter later, that's not called darish sheyavo matzer, because it might not become mutter later. It's only Dov Sheish Matirin if it's either for sure going to come mutter later, or you have the power to make sure it surely becomes mutter. But if you have no control over it and you just have to wait and see, maybe it'll be mutter, maybe it won't, that's not called Yesh Matirin. Lefikach beitzos or suffik treifa shazar v'achiros, if an egg from a hen who is suffik treifa, you have a hen, you're not sure if she's treifa or not. Right? You're not sure if she's swiped by a fox or whatever it may be. And that egg gets mixed with other eggs. You might say, anyone know how to matter an egg of a suffix trefa? Yeah, if the chicken keeps living long enough, you don't have to wait 12 months like normally. If the chicken keeps living long enough to produce an egg from the beginning of the egg production cycle and give birth to and lay that egg, after birth and lay that egg, that proves that it's a proper living chicken, that it has it's a vital chicken, and it's not trefa. So you could just wait and see that it's mutter.
How long is the cycle?
I'm not sure. I seem to recall it might be 30 days, but I'm not promising. Shinazar Bacheros, Ainam Adin Dovashish Matirin, Fisha Ainam Adin Vadar Ainam Yadu. You don't say, Dovashish Matirin, just wait and you'll see that the chicken wasn't really treif. No, maybe you won't see. Right? Maybe it'll become mutter, maybe it won't. And that's not called Dovashish Matirin. And there, because it's not going to automatically, the chicken's not going to automatically be proven kosher. And it's not even your power to make a proven kosher. You're just rolling dice. If you're rolling dice, that's not called Dovashish Matirin, it's batel. Okay, some of the Achronim point out here that there's many other good reasons you could have said why this is batel also. There's probably a few different svaras you could have given why this is not Dovashish Matirin. But this is an illustration of the principle. It's a true principle. Whenever it's not in, whenever you don't have the power to matter it, just maybe it'll become mutter, that's not called Dovashish Matirin. Gimel.
He brings down two things. Is it either or?
Yes. Gimel. Klish and Nesar, this is a very complicated thing. Klish and Nesar, Vlis, Ishazar, Bachera. This is Maisa Mechol Yom, by the way. The eggs that are laid on Yontif, I've never gotten a shiloh about an egg that was laid on Yontif. And I probably won't, because I just don't know a lot of people who live with chickens. You know, the eggs that you buy in the supermarket were never laid on Yontif. I mean, they weren't laid that day. All right? The supermarkets aren't even open on Yontif. And even if they were, the eggs were laid yesterday. It happens all the time. Right? This happens all the time. I trafed up one spoon by accident, right? I use a milking spoon to stir the chicken soup from the set of milking spoons. I trafed up, or I don't know what the case is. I have fleishig spoon. I poured hot milk and hot chocolate on the fleishig spoon, and I trafed it up. And I put it on the side to kasher, and everyone knows what happens, right? And my kid, my wife, my husband, whatever, saw it and put it with the rest of the fleishig spoons. Now I have 12 fleishig spoons, and one of them is trafed, and I don't know which one. There's no way to tell. Right? Meisim b'chol yom. So, if it would be, I mean, that's a possible, let's assume for now. If it would have been a fleishig plate, what did someone do? They put it in the microwave with macaroni and cheese and heated it up. Now they traped up that fleishig plate, and then accidentally someone washed it and put it with the rest of the fleishig plates. I now have 16 plates, and one of them is traif. Say it's batel barov, let's assume. But that's because I can't be mad to the plate, right? I'm stuck. But spoons, it's devashish matir, and I could just take all 12 spoons and kasher them. Or I could take, you know, if there are three pots, I could take all three pots and kasher them. So what about if something becomes treif, and while you're waiting to kasher it, it accidentally gets mixed back with the rest of the dishes? Is it batel or not? Says the mechaber, but ain't no nicker, if you don't know which it is, obviously if you know which one it is, you know which one it is. But batel, it's batel, barov, if it ain't done, so devashish matir, and it's not called devashish matir, and why not? The mechaber doesn't say. But the Rama here fills in, I mean, he's quoting a Rashba, and he just fills in what it says in the Rashba, which was thumb is what the Mechaber meant. L'fisha tzorach lo tziyol mo tzoros la'gilo l'chol kayot v'zeh. This is not called the Yishmatir, and you could kasher all of them. You could kasher all of them, but it would be expensive. Right? You have to buy wood and water, and maybe you could pump the water. But you have to buy wood to make a fire. So it's expensive to kasher them. Since it's expensive to kasher them, therefore that's not called Yishlam HaTiren, because when it costs money, that's not Yishlam HaTiren.
But doesn't this have to do what we talked about before, Rashi
and Rashi? This actually makes a lot more sense according to Rashi, right? According to Rashi, what do you mean, don't rely on Bittul when you don't have to? It's going to cost me money, then I have the right to rely on Bittul instead of spending money. Right? This works well for Rashi. Einachanam. Now, the truth is, this is one of the big seats in Shulchan Aruch. There are dozens, at least a dozen svaras floating around here. Let's just mention briefly, truth is there are a dozen svaras floating around the Sif. Each of these dozen svaras we could give an hour shiur about, if we wanted to. but we won't. So let's just mention the dozen svaras that are floating around. And we'll see some of them have to do with Rashi and Iran, and they're just repeating things which we already have on the board.
So what, Ran wouldn't agree with this Svara of Terem and not Sopik?
I'm a Sopik wouldn't agree with this Svara. He might still say, whatever's Hotzos doesn't count, and therefore it's called Imla Matirin, you know, Minasam. But Rashi would for sure agree, and the Ran might disagree. So what about, right, Kli, Shebola, Isser, V'nis'arev bein hakeva. What are the svaras to say mutter? So one svara to say mutter is the Ramah. Hotsa'os v'tircha. Right? It's hard. If it's hard, that's not called the Yishlatun. Yishlatun is only if it is easy. The Maharil didn't like the svara. The Shachos Maharil, he says, no, it's not so hard to kasher things. It doesn't cost you $1 million. They actually, they say that the Rav said, you know, if you knew what it's like in some place in Europe, you had to go pick up water from the well, and you live on top of the hill, and you had to schlep the water up, you had to schlep the wood. That's what the Mechaber meant. The Rav said, nowadays for sure it's not Hotzos, they like kasher. Well, you have to turn on your gas. You open up your faucet and you turn on your gas, and 5 cents later, you have a pot of boiling water and you kasher your spoons. He says, you know what? Nowadays, for sure, it's not Hotzos v'tircha, even if once upon a time it was. Okay. So this is controversial. Why is this controversial? Because Maharil says that it's not a significant expense, and the Rav says certainly nowadays not a significant expense. Now, even that is not so pashut, meaning maybe it all depends what kind of kli and how it got treif and how you have to kasher. Sometimes you might have to hire someone to kasher, meaning you might need a blowtorch, whatever. That is a significant expense. You have to like hire someone who knows how to use a blowtorch. But certainly, you understand what I'm saying. If you have 12 spoons and one of them is treif and you have to dunk all 12 spoons in a pot of boiling water, your great-great-great-great-grandfather had to go draw water from the well and bring it to the house and chop wood in the forest. That's one thing. And for you, you wouldn't call that a tircha or an expense.
Obviously not an issue for Kli Cheres.
Right? Right, for Kli Cheres. Then it's not even a shaita until we get some other factors. What are some other reasons some people are Megel? Number two, the Maharshal quoted in the Shach. The Maharshal disagrees with the Mechaber we read in Se'if Beis. He says it's only called Darshish Matirin if the matter comes Mimela, automatically. Darshish Matirin is only if it comes automatically. Therefore, since this won't be matured automatically, it's not because it's too hard. He just, Darshish Matirin only means the matter comes on its own. Again, against the Mechaber and Beis. The Mechaber says if it comes on its own, or it's in your power to do it. Conveniently. He says, no, Darshish Matirin only becomes on its own. If it doesn't happen on its own, that's called Ein Lo Matirin. No, because if they're not matter of the carbon, it'll still be mutter by the day. Okay, we're not going to discuss it now. Okay, yesh l'ayin. Then maybe in the Chanami. The Shach rejects the Marshal and says, that's ridiculous. The Bavli says, neder is dover sheish l'atirin. Neder is not matter on its own, you have to be matter it. So the Shach says, the Marshal was absolutely wrong and made a kindergarten mistake. Okay, obviously can't be. I mean, he could be wrong. We don't propose like him. He obviously couldn't have made a kindergarten mistake. So the Pesach Tshuva, Kol Seach Rodin, who explained the Marshal says no. He really meant it's only Derech Sheish Lativ if it's Motor automatically. Neder counts as Motor automatically. Why? Anyone know what Chazals say about making and mattering a Neder? Anyone know any Chazals about Neders?
Not good.
Not good, but what do they say specifically? Use all their poetic power? I know they're ki'ilu, but a bummer. Whoever is makes a neder as if they built a bummer, right? Yes, or bummels, right? Read Sefer Malachim. And hamakaymo ki'ilu hikar v'lo karbon. If you fulfill your neder, it's as if you brought a carbon on the bottle, which is an isur karis. What did that mean? Chazal said you are obligated to be matur neder. You're not allowed to keep your neder. You have to be maturit. And they're talking about at least most kind of nedarim, many kind of nedarim. So what do we see here? That the Marshal says neder is mutter automatically. Why? Because you have to be, because Chazal obligated you to do a taras nedarim. If Chazal obligated you, that counts as happening automatically. Everyone has to follow the halacha, as opposed to kasher and kalim, when there's no obligation to kasher and kalim. It's only if you want to, and that's how the achronim defend the Marshal. Even if it happens in a meila, they just have to add a knech. Or if you have to do it, if you do it. But you're obligated to do it. That counts as mamela because you're an Orthodox Jew. So of course you do what Chazal told you. Okay, that's the deep of the Marshal. You can like the Marshal. You cannot like the Marshal.
Very difficult because we don't pass it like
that. Not true.
Okay, I'm listening to you.
What?
It's not the accepted thing. Whenever the Gemara wants to bring it down, they bring that down. That's one sheet up. We know that you're allowed to make the Nedarim. Nedarim is the young Lucretius. What are you talking about?
Okay, we'll get to it. There are different kinds of Nedarim. Okay, there's different kinds of Nedarim. Number three, the Shach quotes from the Masas Binyamin. The Shach quotes from the Masas Binyamin that that there's no din of Darish Yesh Latiren in Ablia. Darish Yesh Latiren is only on an actual item, not an Ablia and something else. And therefore, since over here the Ablia trait from the Kli, there's no din of Darish Yesh Latiren. And that's a Ramah. That's a Ramah in Sif Dalad in the next Sif. There's no din of Darish Yesh Latiren in a Ablia. Meaning, let me say it better. In Dovar Shenasar Machas Blia. Right? Something that's not intrinsically usher, because of a Lulea usher, there's no din Dovar Shenasar Matirin. Is your spoon intrinsically usher? No, your spoon is made of very kosher metal. It's very kosher stainless steel. Mahadrin stainless steel. It's just an ablia in it. Okay, they don't think the Darshish not here in an ablia. However,
why are you saying that's the Ramban's Mitzvah and not saying that's the Mechaber and Siv Gimel?
Because the Mechaber said the Heter here because of Sotos Vetercha. Ah, how do I know the Mechaber and Siv Gimel doesn't agree with the Ramban Siv Dalet?
And why is the Ramban Siv Dalet need the Ramban Siv Gimel?
That is a great question. First of all the Achronim asked that on the Ramah. Well, that's exactly the kasha all the Achronim asked, all the Nosekilim asked on the Ramah and Siv Dalet. If you believe what you said in Siv Dalet, why do you need Siv Gimel? And they don't answer it. They reject the Ramah. So first of all, let me just point this out. But Lamaisa, we don't pass like this Marashal. And to the Ramah in Sif Dalet, all the Akronim say that, not all the Akronim, most Akronim say, we don't paskin like this Ramah. So, now, of course, Zev asked the great question. If the Ramah held that something which only also is a Blia has no din Dor Sheishvat Tirin, why do you have to say here because of the expense? Why did he just say, because it's only us because of Bliya? So, the Nosekim, leave up, sorry, Ian, the answer might be because he was trying to explain the Mechaber here, and he knows the Mechaber doesn't agree with the Svar of Bliya, but he wants to explain why the Mechaber said it. And for himself, he doesn't need, he's trying to explain the Mechaber, and that might be the answer. But it's a good question. Okay, another Svar to be Mako is the Taz in the Havamina. Taz. In his Havamina, he says, there's no actual matir. There's no matir. You're not matir the treif. You're separating the treif from your spoon, but you're not matiring the treif. Your treif has a blia of, let's say, basar b'chalav, right? You accidentally made a basar b'chalav. You can never be matir the basar b'chalav. All you can do is take it out of your spoon and put it into water and pour the water down the drain, and it'll go into the sewage system. But you can never be matter the blias basar b'chalav. So that's what the Taz in the Havamina says. He says, there's no actual matter for the Isser. Because the Isser is the blia, which is equals the blia. Hagala is not matter the blia. Hagala just takes the blia out of your spoon. But it's not matter the blia. Everyone knows when you do Haggadah, the bliya goes into the water, and it's in the water. It doesn't become mutter. As a matter of fact, that's why what the first question all the Rishonim asked about Haggadah, how does Haggadah work if the bliya goes into the water? Why doesn't it go back into your pot? And how do we solve that problem practically in our everyday life? We wait until Seinu Ben Yom, so it'll go into the water, and it'll be Tam Lefgam in the water, and then it won't be a problem. Okay, but now here it gets into big lumdus. The Rav discussed this, Yerush Sameach discussed this. Is Hagalah just separating the Bliya from your Kli, or is there a real Chalos Matar in the Kli? Simple Pshat is just separating the Bliya. We'll get to some lumdus maybe in Shavuos time as to how you can see it more.
Once you bring up Ben Yomo, then aren't Bliyos Devar Shisha Matirin once they're in a Ben
Yomo? Hold that thought. Oh, aren't they Devar Shisha Matirin once they're in a Ben Yomo? Lo b'diyuk, because ein ben yomo is not necessarily, because tam l'gam doesn't matter the blias, it just makes them not aser what they go into. But it doesn't actually matter them.
Uh-huh. But if it's in a kli, then you're only ever dealing with what it's going into.
Okay, so, but then it's not usable to you, and then it's already mutter. Then maybe once 24 hours pass, it's already considered mutter.
Right, so it's a double shishan.
Ah, okay, good. So you're right, hold that thought. That's what you meant. Okay, the taz in the end says, but in the end, what's his maskana? Maskana's taz, you know, there is still a way out. This really sounds like he's discussing the Rana Rashi, really doesn't mention his names. First thing, there's no matir, that's the Havmin of the Taz and Sivkatan, what would that be? Ches. And then he says, but you know what? At first I think they're not Yesh Latir. There's no way to be mocked to the trait of Bliya. He says, but on the other hand, don't give me fancy svaras. Lamaisa, you have a way out, so don't rely on Bittel. So that's why he rejects that Sabah Hakam. It really sounds like his happening is the Ran, his Maskara is Rashi, although he doesn't say those words. No, I'm just saying those words. The Isser Veheter quoted in the Nekudas HaKesef says a different story to be about there. The Isser Veheter in the Nekudas HaKesef, Gefi Shehaven Nekudas HaKesef. This is, it's probably Pashup Shat, but it's not obvious Nekudas HaKesef interprets in this way. He says, here's a good one. You know why you want to? Hold on a second. I have one spoon that was bolea lard, and 12 spoons that were bolea regular vegetables. That's mimishay no mino. Though she's not here in bottle mimishay no mino. Now, if it was one spoon of feiwa and 10 spoons of shkuta, that wouldn't help. But at least in most cases, it's mimishay no mino. I have one spoon, one of my fleshic spoons, I poured hot milk on it. Now it's bolea milk. Milk and meat is mimishay no mino. And therefore, he says, in most cases, are min b'she'en omino. And min b'she'en omino, double she'en omino, turn his bottle. So, that's what the Yisra Hetra wants to be making in this case. Again, it's not going to work for all cases. If I have 10 forks, 12 forks, and one of that 11 used for kosher meat, one used for trace meat, this is not going to apply. But in the more typical case, I have 12 forks, 11 used for meat, and one for milk, then it's b'she'en omino, it should be bottle. The Shach questions that, and the Shach says, but, meaning the Kudus HaKesef, the Shach says that spoons are the same min. He says, min b'mino, I don't care if the b'liyas are the same min. I care if the cheftzes are the same min. And spoons are the same min as spoons. Yeah, correct. Meaning, do you go by the min of the etzem ha'isser, or do you go by the min of... Right, according to the Ran, you go by the min of the etzem ha'isser. The etzem makes sense. According to the svar of the shach himself, it goes by what it looks like, then the shach makes sense. Absolutely. And Rabbi Akiva Eger has an exceedingly clever, the Pesach Tshuva. It's not in the Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eger on the side. It's in the Pesach Tshuva, but in... Okay. Rabbi Akiva Eger quoted in the Pesach Tshuva, so cut and bob. If you want to know where everything is, this is in the Shach. This is in the Shach. This is in the Taz. This is in the Kudus HaKesef. Fine. Rabbi Akiva Eger has a very clever part. He says, hold on a second. This gets into some other lumbus, but he says, and if you kosher it, what happens when you kosher it? What happens to the treif in the spoon when you kosher it? The treif goes into the water, right? What happens to the treif when it goes into the water? Why doesn't it make the water treif? It's nosin tam l'gam. The Rashba says nosin tam l'gam is a kind of bittel. It seems to me about Hokus Rashba and Ran. But what does he say? He says that even if you do Haggalah, you are relying on bittel. So you're going to rely on bittel. You might as well just say it's bittel. Even when you do Haggalah, you rely on bittel. Now, again, this machlok is Rashba and Ran, but the notes of Hamlet Gam is a kind of bittel. Let's assume it's a kind of bittel. So what do? Or you take the spoon and you dip it in a big pot where it's less than a 60th and all the trade is about the Mashishim. So you're relying on bittel. So why bother do Haggalah and rely on bittel? Just don't do Haggalah and rely on bittel. Either way, you're relying on bittel. Right? Or let's say you save your pots 24 hours to the Ein Ben Yomo, and then you fill them with water, and then the treif goes into the water, and is bottled in the water to the time of Gam. You have to rely on Bittel anyway. If you have to rely on Bittel anyway, then you might as well just skip the middleman and rely on Bittel and not kasher it. Right? Why kasher it and rely on Bittel? Just don't kasher it and rely on Bittel. Either way, you have to rely on Bittel. There is no, you can eat it without Bittel. No, because even when you kasher it, you need Bittel. This is controversial. This gets into the lumbus of kasher it.
Bittel of Nosetan of Gam that's under the Raisa or under Rabbanan? And the Rabbanan that say the Chatzishin is Nosetan of Gam, the reason why is because it's in Vatam Yisrael Chatzila, but really, and the Raisa, it's Bichlal, it's not considered.
So the Rashba sounds like the reason why Nosin Ham Gam is also Chachila is because of Inval Nisro Chachila. Tosos definitely don't sound that way. Tosos and the Rashba and Rodozor don't sound that way. The Rashba, the Torah Sabayis, does sound that way.
According to the Rashba and the Raisa level, the reason why there's no Chashash and Nosin Ham Gam is because
it's bottle.
It's also means that bit.
Yes.
Exactly.
And so it doesn't apply.
Your kavana is to the kashrut. Okay. These are some svaras to be made on.
What?
On Pesach, you have a Pesach keli that gets chometz.
Mm-hmm.
After Pesach, you tell me the chometz is bottle. And the next Pesach, you just use it for Pesach.
Why would the chometz be bottle after Pesach? Oh, well, if it became chometz, then totally, then the chometz is never bottle. Let's say you use it for
stir. No, no, chometz,
no. It's still chometz day. Whether or not there's a dim chometz after Pesach is which machlokas benachem? No. I mean, in Lundus, is the machlokas for the chametz is a surah bala or a teir bala? Whether there's a shame chametz all year one. Is the machlokas rishonim whether there's a shame chametz all year one? I know it's only usher and pesach. But is there shame chametz on Purim? Even though it's water, is the machlokas rishonim?
What?
It's machlokas rishonim whether there is no such thing as chametz on Purim, or there is a shame chametz on Purim. Just the same chametz is only usher and pesach. Basically, it sounds very subtle. They're arguing about whether today this chametz has a shame that it's usher and pesach or not. It sounds like a very abstract thing that like some hyper brisker on Ritalin made up. But you should just know that this is a machlokes rishonim that changes every single practical halacha of kashrut for pesach.
Why should chametz be
Yes, so that's what the Rav said. The Rav said, if I recall correctly, he said, you know why the same chametz all year long? Because it's Aser and Menachos. In a Hanami. But, okay, we're not going to discuss it now. We'll get to it. Okay, now let's figure out what are the Svaras Lahachar. What are the Svaras to say it's Aser? So what are the Svaras to say it's Aser? So, one of the stories that's to say it's Aser are, is that if the heter is because of Hutsa'os, Maharil says it's not significant. Right, if you want to say the heter is a Torah Mitzios, then the Maharil says that's not significant. Torah v'yitzios. It's a very little, it's a very small Torah v'yitzios. We don't care about that. It's not. We're not impressed. And the Shach and the Rav agreed with him. He says, maybe in the old days, the Ramah and the Machaber were right, that it was a big expense. But nowadays, it's not a big expense. There's no Tircha. And the Shach, Machmir, if there's no Hepsid Merubah. L'chorif is a heaven ruba, then the Maharil would never argue in the first place. Right? But the Shach says, you should be Machmir, like this Maharil. The other svara the Shach brings up is, the Shach, it's a partial svara, partial chumra. The Shach says, you know what? I think this is what Eli meant before. Even if you think that kashering it is a big pain, that's an ein l'matirin. But what would be very easy to do?
Just wait 24
hours. Just wait 24 hours. The Shach says that you at least have to wait 24 hours. Because if you wait 24 hours, that's matzah the Issur D'oraisa. Right? Two.
What does that interest us? You still don't want to use this food.
The Issur D'oraisa. Within 24 hours, the Shach Issur D'oraisa to cook the trach clean. After 24 hours, only Mr. Rabbanon of the Einu Ben Yomo. So the Shach is assuming to get it down from an Issur D'oraisa to an Issur Rabbanon is called the Issur Matirin. Not everyone agrees with that Shach, right?
That's an Issur D'oraisa. The whole dinner is only to Rabbanon.
Hmm?
The whole
dinner is only. No. What he means is this. Let's say I treif up one of my pots. If I cook pasta in that pot within 24 hours, then that's a then, and it's the treif pot, then it's a Shach from Issur D'oraisa. So I should wait till after 24 hours. Then if I cook in it, worst comes to worst, only Shach and Issur D'rabbanan. Basically, within 24 hours, I'm relying on Bittel on the D'oraisa level. After 24 hours, I only have to rely on Bittel on the D'rabbanan level. So why rely on Bittel for a D'oraisa when I can only rely on Bittel for a D'rabbanan? That's what the Shach says. This is controversial. What?
That still says bottle if you still mix with other things, so then you have to wait 24 hours.
Hmm?
The case of the spoon.
Right.
It'll still be bottled just after 24 hours. Oh, well,
yes, it'll still be bottled after 24 hours. That's what he suggests here. What?
But on the awesome.
At least at the way, okay, partial. Right? A partial isser. Meaning you're claiming it's not even partial isser, it's a very tiny isser. Big deal, wait 24 hours. Okay, correct. You should know there are three reasons why Achronim reject the Shach. What are the three reasons some Achronim reject the Shach? You could disagree for three reasons. What are the three reasons you could disagree? One reason you could disagree is you could say a partial heter is not yesh lo matirin. Yesh lo matirin means it'll be totally mutter. If it'll just be go down to a rabbanon, that's not yesh lo matirin.
No, but isn't he saying that we're willing to rely on the bittul for the rabbanon?
But if we have to rely on bittul for the rabbanon, you might as well rely on it for doraisas. Why not just say, look, we have to rely on it anyway?
It's not as big as Hilfa.
Okay, or you could say, im kvar oz kvar. That's the question. You say, im kvar oz kvar. Okay. Rabbi Akiva Eiger has a different problem. This is a bit of a close shot on Achronim. Rabbi Akiva Eiger says that, this is the same svar he said there. He says, after 24 hours, need to rely on bittul min haTorah. You think after 24 hours, then it's only an issue of Rabbanan? No, that's not true. After 24 hours, it's Motzer because of Nosin Tam Lefgam, and Nosin Tam Lefgam is only Motzer because of Bittul. So even after 24 hours, you say the pork taste goes into my food. Why is it Motzer? Ah, because it's Nosin Tam Lefgam, so it's Bittul. So you're still relying on Bittul in a Torah. Meaning after 24 hours, only an issue of Rabbanan. Why is it only an issue of Rabbanan? Because Dovashish, Nosin Tam Lefgam is Bittul. But you're still relying on Bittul. And the Mishnah quotes a very famous tzlach. This tzlach comes up in a lot of issues. The tzlach says that it's only called yesh lo matirin, that davar sheyesh lo matirin only applies to consumables. What do I mean by that? Things you use once. An egg you eat once. So therefore, why eat it now when you can eat it later? He's going with Rashi. An egg you eat once, why now when you can eat it later? Wine you drink once, why drink it now when you can drink it later? But he says, what about a suffix muktza of a suffix davashish matirin? I'm trying to remember if I remember what his original example was. What about this case, the pots? That wasn't his original example, I don't think. He says, hold on a second. What do you mean why use it now when you can use it later? You can cook in the pot now and later. You can cook in the pot as much as you want. So you can't say, why rely on bittul, just wait till later? Why rely on bittul? Because I want to cook in the pot now. Say, oh, just cook later. I want to cook in the pot now and later. Every hour I can't use the pot, I'm missing out on something. Every hour I don't eat a cake, I'm not missing out. I'll just eat the cake later. Right? It's one cake either way. But if you come out of kli, now I have one less day of using this kli. If I have one less day to use this kli, then I have the right to rely on bittul. That's what he says. Basically, his chap is anything you could use now and later. We don't tell you wait till later. Then you're missing out on now. Only something that you can only eat once. We say you might as well wait till later. That's his svara. It's fushy. You have a ticket to an amusement park. I tell you, don't use the ticket today. Use it tomorrow. But say, well, use it tomorrow. Either way, I'm going to the amusement park. You have a car. Don't drive your car today, drive it tomorrow. Say, no, I wanted to drive my car every day. Now you're taking away one day from me. Why should I drive my car one day less? That's what Tzlach says. Anything, you're losing a day of usage, anything that's not just consumable. What's the opposite of a consumable? A durable good, right? Anything that's durable, there's no din of davashish matirin. So I want to use it every day. And it's not fair to take away my right to use it every day. Only consumables, which I can only eat once anyway, then Chazal tell, don't eat today, eat tomorrow. Okay, that's a famous tzlach. We don't always rely on that tzlach, but it does come up. For example, where does this come up in the discussions of the modern-day poskim? This is a great question. What if I'm not sure how many hours it's been since I ate meat and I have milk? I'm not sure it was 4 hours or 6 hours. I lost track of time. So my first guess would be it's only drabbanan stuff. Drabbanan l'kula. I'm not fleshik. But no, it's davashish matirin. I could just wait another 2 hours, and then it'll be for sure mutter. So why eat milk now, when I can wait till the other 2 hours and eat it totally to heter? But according to the tzlach, is not the rishish matirin. No, I want to eat milk now and later. I'm missing out on 2 hours of eating milk, which I'm never going to make up, which is never going to be given back to me. Time is a precious commodity. And therefore, according to the tzlach of being mutter, halakha l'maaseh, I've seen people discuss this, and a lot of it comes down to, you know, do you want to rely on the tzlach or not? L'maaseh, in this particular case, the poskim are split on this, but nearer that, you do have the tzlach to rely on, and b'tzeirah, the fact that the Rambam says you don't have to wait 6 hours anyway for Ashkenazic, and the original meaning Ashkenaz would not to wait 6 hours anyway, Tosfos says you don't have to wait 6 hours, so for sure, you know, at least Makom Tzorech, I think we can remake all.
It's not viewed as a chisar on the idea of Zefshel Levarek.
It depends.
It's not a lie for the police.
No, it depends if it's Zefshel Levarek or not. Sometimes you can remember it, sometimes you can't.
You forgot!
You forgot and nobody knows. You're right, if you forgot, but you could call your friend who has a smartphone and say, I remember you got an email in the middle of the meal right while I was biting my hamburger. Can you check what time you got the email? Then you should call him and check. But what if there's no way to know? Okay. Anyway, this is a big discussion in the postgame. Okay, back to Svarz Lahachmir. The Shach brings down a gazillion Svarz Lahachmir. What are some of the Svarz Lahachmir? Let's just mention, I'm going to briefly mention some of the Svarz Lahachmir, and then I'm not going to get into all of them anymore. Okay? Says the Ra'ah quoted in the Shach, says, you know why he's machmir? He says, this is like bugs on your lettuce. Says, this is like bugs on your lettuce. You could take the bugs off, there's no bittel. Here, you could take the Isser out of your kalim, there's no bittel. Since you can remove the Isser, there's no bittel. Since, and here, it's very hard, he's saying, this is not Dovr Shish Matir and Darfadim. Dovr Raisa, there's no bittel. Since you can remove the Isser, it's not Batel Minat Torah, says the Rav. What do you mean? It's like if you have a bug in your lettuce, you're going to claim it's Batel, Dovr Shish Matir and Beria? No, just take off the bug. Here, just put in a pot of boiling water and take out the Blia. L'maisa, that's what he quotes the Ra'ah as saying. The L'maisa, no one agrees with the Svara for the simple reason. The bug in the lettuce, you can take the bug, which is usser, out of the lettuce, which is mutter. Right? If you have a tarobus, someone puts a trace apple in your oranges, you can take the trace apple out of the kosher oranges. In the case of the spoons, you can't take the trace blia out of the kosher blias. You can take all the blias out of the spoons, but you can't separate the trace blia from the kosher blias. Right? There's no way you can define which is the trace blia. So therefore they say in the Ra'ah, that's not a fair comparison. That's not a fair comparison. Say, you know what they say to the Ra'ah, you know what your mushel is? Your mushel is if I have 10 cheese sandwiches and one of them has a trace slice of cheese. You can tell me I can take the cheese off, so it's not butel. No, what are you doing? I can take the cheese off, but I still can't take the trace piece of cheese out of the 9 kosher pieces of cheese. Here also, I can get all the blias out of the spoons. But I can't separate the kosher blia from the treif blia, because I have no way of seeing which is the kosher blia, which is the treif blia, and that's why most people don't listen to this
Rav. According to Ashkenazim, it's halal anyways. You are separating, everything is
true. No, that's not separating. That's mixing, not separating.
No, I'm saying, first thing is treif, now everything's treif, so yeah, I'm separating.
No, there's no halal in Yavish B'Yavish. No, I can kasher each spoon in its own pot. But you know what? Then I'll have 9 pots, one with trace blias, 9 with kosher blias, and I won't have separated them.
Oh, I think you meant within the spoon that is trace, that is bit of trace in it, you're not separating the blias within the same spoon, not the other spoon.
No, no. But we disagree. Because you can't separate the blias isser from the blias hector. Meaning, yes, you get all the blias out of all the spoons. But that's not called nicker ha'isser. You still don't know which is the usher blia, which is the after blia. There's no, you can take all the blias out, but you can't separate the isser blias from the heter blias. Okay, I'll just mention briefly three other svaras. Three other svaras is the Ma'ariv and Leiv. There are also maybe hints at the Ma'ariv and Leiv, quoted in the Shach. He says, there's a bigger problem here. He says the problem is maybe you'll cook something with each of these pots. Let's say you have three vegetable pots and one pork and one ham pot, right? And they get mixed up. You don't know which is which. So you know what the problem is? And this would apply even Ema Matima. He says, the problem is you'll cook with all the pots and one of the foods will taste like ham. And once one of the foods tastes like ham, then it's Nesinas Tam. That's the Shach. That seems to be you have to analyze it a lot more than we did, I admit. But that's what he quotes here from the...
Could you put something like that again?
Yes. Reuven Lev, let's just see if I can find... I'm sorry, one second. Ah, here we are. The Chol. Over Chuv my Reuven Lev, Pasek, Degarsha, Chol, Shazar, Begarsha, Basel, Abad, Barov, Kim, Nevi... No. Okay.
I apologize. Again, I had myself. This is the other Svar of the Ra'ah. The Ra'ah said two Svaras. The other Svar of the Ra'ah was, says the Ra'ah, in the Shach, the Su, he says the second Svar,
his first Svar I already mentioned. Lo Sagi Bekelim Elosh Li'itin Itzer Tam Beheter Ayin Shon Sheheria.
He says, when you cook the Itzer, will give a tam to your food, and once the Isser gives a tam to your food, it'll be chozer v'neir, and it'll be usser, even if something's bottle. If then it creates an asinus tam, we know it's chozer v'neir. So he says here also, even if you think it's bottle, but hold on, I'm going to cook in the pots, and one of the pots will cook something that'll taste like ham, and when one of the pots cooks something it tastes like ham, then it'll be chozer v'neir, and it'll be usser.
In a normal piece of bittul, we have three pieces of meat that are kosher and one that's usser and also berov. And you're still going to end up eating the taste of trif.
Aha, okay, correct. So here I admit it's not exactly clear what the Ra'ah means by this. The Ra'ah might just mean, well, it's going to taste your food, and Zev says, who cares? Every time you mix three pieces of meat and they're all kosher, you can put them each in a chol and they'll give taste to the beans and it'll be okay because it was bottle. The Pri Chadash says what he means is this. When you taste it, you'll taste the ham and then you'll realize which one it was. And once you realize which one it is, it's not batel anymore. That's a more reasonable chash.
It's always a chash.
Right. Now, it's not always a chash three pieces of meat that taste the same. It's only a chash that things taste different, right? Are we worried about that scenario? That you have three pots. You don't know which one is ham, so you say it's bottle. What do you mean? You'll cook in one pot, it'll taste normal. One pot will taste normal.
But that's not...
You'll cook in the last pot, it'll taste like ham.
But that's not how we've previously understood Min Bimino. Because previously we've understood Min Bimino as either the shame or the... Well, I guess if you say that Min Bimino means a tam, but that then if you have a case of steaks and one of them is not kosher and two of them are kosher, okay, so the ones that are kosher are salted more, and so... Maybe they'll have a different taste when they come out, but at this point,
and we hadn't worried about that until now.
Yeah.
Okay. So Lemaisa, what the Pri Chadash says, you're right. I mean, Lemaisa, we don't normally see what this Pri Chadash. And the Pri Chadash explains that you will taste, which is treif, and once you taste which is treif, you'll trouble. Okay. Lemaisa, we don't normally assume like the Pri Chadash. We normally assume bittel is bittel, and if it ends up happening in the end that you taste which is also, you'll worry about it when you come to it. But that doesn't prevent it from being bottle in the first place. Okay, the Shach picks two other svaras. I'll just mention the Bach. The Bach is a partial chumrah. Says the Bach. He says, you have to kasher one. Why do you have to kasher one? So there's a few svaras. His main svara is because we know when things are bottle, you're not supposed to eat them all together. I take it back. The Bach says you have to kasher one. Why? Because if you don't kasher any of them, you'll for sure be using a treif pot. So you have to at least kasher one. You have to kasher one so you won't
certainly be using treif.
Zachar zeh.
Ah, even zachar zeh. The smag is machmer, and there are masiyish machmir. So the problem is that this is not the regular din. The regular din is that if I have three meatballs and two of them are kosher and one of them is treif, I don't have to throw one out to make sure I don't for sure eat the fixed meatball. Yesh machmirim kach, but I'll be strict din. I can eat all three as long as I don't eat them at the same time. As the Taz says, Lizman meruba chayshinan shema yochal kulam biyachad. Lizman meruba, that if you're going to keep these kalim for a long time, like you normally do, we're afraid you might eat all the kalim together. And you're not allowed to eat them all together, so if you eat them all together, then for sure one of them is treif at the same time. These are all some kufes issues, which we have to get to. And what does that mean? It seems like a far chash to me. So you have three pots. If you keep them for a long time, eventually you're going to cook three soups in the three pots and mix them together. And then you'll be mixing together and for sure have treif in there. And then it'll be a problem. That's a big chumra, because by the time Zman Meruba comes, we'll be using Tam Lufgam. So he has to say, but anything we wouldn't do in Tam Lufshvach, we can't do in Tam Lufgam, which is a big chiddush. Not to mention, in fact, the Achronim are not so impressed with this tiny of the Taz. They say, first of all, Lav Davka, you'll put them all together. Who cooks in older pots and mixes them all together, even Zman Meruba? And if it happened, it would be using Tam Lufgam by then. Okay, Lamais, that's a chumra of the Taz. And they also point out it would be enough to kosher one pot, and then you would avoid this problem. Halacha lemaisa, what do we come out with this? Everyone here is now qualified to paskin the shiloh of mixed together dishes that are one kosher and the rest treif, because it's such a simple sugya. Halacha lemaisa, it is very unclear. The Aruch HaShulchan goes through almost all these svaras at great length, and the merits and the difficulties of each of these svaras. And the Aruch HaShulchan goes out in the end and says, Lemaisa, we're makel that it's batel. In the end, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins the kula. He says, because it's still a big tircha to kasher a lot of things. I don't know if he meant spoons. But the Aruch HaShulchan, now keep in mind, some of these svaras even applied if it wasn't Yishlo HaTirei. Right? I mean, some of these svaras asher even if it's Eimel HaTirei, which apply to plates also. Lamaisa, the Aruch HaShulchan paskins were makel. The halacha is that, like the Aruch HaShulchan, like the Mechaber, that we are makel if you have a tarovus of kosher and treif dishes, that they're batel, put all the svaras together. Aruch HaShulchan says you can be makel. At least if you wait 24 hours. Might as well wait 24 hours. That's an easy thing to do. That's the psak of the Aruch HaShulchan. Lamaisa, if it's very easy to kasher them all, then one should probably try to be machmir, just because if it's very easy, then maybe that's really called the Yishlo HaTirei. But if they're difficult, you know, if they're spoons, I would be machmir. But if it's something which is difficult to kasher, then we rely on the Aruch HaShulchan and paskin the kula. Bottom line, we paskin the kula. But if it's something very easy, then we should be machmir. That would be in the spirit of the original machaber that we started with. Yeah. I mean, bottom line, let's go back to the machaber. If it's very easy, like spoons and forks and knives, then big deal, just kasher them. I mean, not if you have 1,000, you know, but if you have 12. But if it's something which is not kasherable, or it's something which is hard to kasher, like pots or like things that need libun, etc., then we are makel. Okay, I am the Aruch HaShulchan, who goes through much greater length than I did. What?
Knives need to be made because you can't kasher.
Why can't you kasher knives? Depends what kind of knives.
Depends
what kind of knives. I have to say, you might disagree with me, when I grew up, everyone knows you can't kasher knives because where the metal is stuck into the wood, there's cracks and crevices that you can't clean out. And that was when I was a kid. Nowadays, the knives don't have wood. They have plastic handles.
It's still the same problem.
The plastic handles that I have in my knives are melted onto the metal, and there's no cracks and crevices. They melt the plastic and melt it onto the metal.
At the joint, you can almost never get the stuff out. But you know, you cook
check the knives.
I have checked my knives.
They never get clean at that point. The chibur, they never get
clean. There might be different kinds of knives even nowadays. Maybe it's because I use very cheap knives.
You might take a toothpick. You can't possibly get out the thing.
My knives have no cracks and crevices. Okay, everyone will figure out on their own knives whether they have cracks and crevices. And certainly the knives that come with the silverware that are just metal, those have no cracks and crevices.
It's not a question of cracks and crevices. There's a chibur between the blade and the handle and all the knives.
Right, but if
the thing is very difficult, usually it gets rusty and it's very difficult to kashrim it. That's the basic halakha of kashriming knives, why it's so problematic.
Okay, everyone will look at their own knives. It's Matzias. It's not a Svara. Maybe my knives are newer than your knives. I don't know. Efsher. Efsher. Old-fashioned knives for sure are a problem. I see these newfangled knives, and they have a plastic handle. They melt the plastic handle onto the metal blade, and it melts on, and it forms one piece. And there's no seam anymore. Okay, but everyone will look at their own knives.
We'll put a knife next to
Dalit. Again, this is Yesh Misha Omer, the Machaber means he's possibly like. That it, we have this on the board. It's not Dovr Shish Matirin that would spoil before it got mutter, because what kind of Matirin is that? It'll spoil. I think everyone can agree with that and one. This fascinating Rabbi Eger quotes from the Marshal, the Yamshar Shlomo, who says that's called Yesh Matirin even though it'll spoil. The Marshal is clearly looking at it in a very formal perspective. It's called Yesh Matirin even though you can't actually ever do it. Machaber is pashtus. And, you know, practically, you have no other option but to rely on bitzel, even formally. A matter that's not actually going to be edible, I don't know if you'd call it a matter. Okay. Lemaisa, the Rabbi Akiva quotes in the Yamshal Shlomo says, even if it'll spoil, that's still called Yesh Lo Matirin.
Why?
Because its identity is that it has a matter, even though you can never actually use it. Lemaisa, the Akronim, are not choshev for the Yamshal Shlomo. It's a difficult svara. Lemaisa, it has no matter. Even its identity, how can you call it a matter if you can't actually be matter it? Correct, okay, so maybe the Amshul Shlomo is right. Anyway, clearly this ties in Balam, this halacha lemaisa, we're not close to the Amshul Shlomo, the Akronim say like the Machaber, that if we'll spoil, this came up a lot in the old Chadash discussions. If you have a flour that you mix Chadash and Yashan, just wait till after Pesach, and it'll be mutter. If you have a tavshil, if you have bread that mixes Chadash and Yashan, you can't wait till after Pesach. It's now Shvat. And if you wait till after Pesach, the bread will be, bread will be penicillin by then. And therefore, it's batel. That's really what the Rishonim discussed this. That's what they had in mind. What? I mean, nowadays, you could freeze. Meaning, nowadays, this Machaber is irrelevant. No, nothing's Miskalko. You could freeze it.
Alright, that's it. To freeze it and sell it.
Could be to be high to freeze it and sell it, but again, that might depend how big it is. Meaning, if it would cost you money to rent a freezer because you're dealing with 2 tons, then that's hotzos, and that wouldn't be usually not here. If it's one little thing, then maybe you'd have to freeze it, and maybe you'd have to freeze it and sell it. And even if your machmer not selchum eats it, but we're talking about if it's less than a 60th, right? That we only come out to the usually not here if it's less than a 60th. If it's more than a 60th, or if it's yavish be yavish barov, which all these things are. Who was to sell? Right, okay, so you have to figure it out. Anyway, Lemaisa, now comes the Ramah. The Ramah here is long, and the hour is late. We might have noticed. So, you will have to... if I start this Ramah, we're never going to finish. We'll have to save this Ramah, Amir Tzashem, for next time. Okay, so next time we'll pick up the Ramah and Sefdah.